Decatur, Alabama. No, you're Auburn.
So it's no, it was no good to bring up here. I mean, the bottom was in the pan on there.
Some people never forget.
And I get all the stuff out and make another dish and I'm one thing short.
I'm not with them. They just happen to be in the same place at the same time.
I cooked, finally cooked macaroni through a sack of cheese and they stirred it up and that's it.
I was wearing my.
No milk, it was in it.
Alabama.
If they did want cheese, that's what I think. Mac and cheese without putting.
There's always a bunch of bad.
Yes, I see what I brought.
I sure like your shirt. I said, well.
Somebody might want to get them and see some of them can be put in the library.
I said, sometimes it keeps the hooligans off of them. And you could have gotten slower.
Or is it in the bathroom? Okay, we'll look at it. You can do it. You can do it, Randy. Hang in there. One way. One way.
She didn't. I thought she had a baby with her.
Yeah, right.
What did she say? She thought she had a baby with you.
I don't want to make her that.
Don't laugh too much, Randy.
I feel like this baby was due a month ago.
Yeah.
2 months ago, maybe.
Back in the
I wish you'd give me some of what you give him.
And Miss Ruth, how about we give you some of his energy?
That's what I didn't tell her.
Oh, okay.
Testing 1, 2.
I didn't know.
Hello and good morning to everyone. It's good to see you.
Good morning.
Our opening scripture will be Psalm 90. If you would like to turn there and read along with us, please. Psalm 90 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, thank you for this day that you have provided us, for our good, for our benefit. Pray that you would be glorified in it, that we would receive your blessing, your name be glorified as we now sing songs of praise and hear your word and then fellowship in your power and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to pick up at verse 18, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Take two on this here. Are you going to do it like that, huh? Okay, so far so good. There we go. Y'all like that? All right. So, God made the man, placed him in the garden with the mandate to dress and keep it. What's it mean to keep it? Oh, yeah. You want me to turn the light off? Yeah. Will that help? You're not going to go to sleep on me, are you?
I'll try not to.
Okay, I might come over there and stand by you. Keep it means to hedge it about, build a hedge about. Okay? Kind of like the idea of that house band. You ever heard that term? House band? Called a husband. Yeah, house band. That's the idea. Hedge it about. Protect it. Guard it. Take care of it. Attend to it. That is the mandate. Right? Now, we've looked at that previously there. But what we get from this is that God looked at man and said, it is not good for him to be alone. So the thesis of where I'm going with this is that though he was supposed to keep it, hedge it about, protect it, guard it, take care of it, attend to it, yet the man, being alone, could not produce life. He needed help in producing life. This was also a part of what he was supposed to be doing in being fruitful. Now, if you look back at Genesis chapter 1, it says that when the Lord God created man, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But here in chapter 2, what he did is he created the man, placed him in the garden, and said, dress it and keep it. If you look at what has taken place when God made Adam. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. Go back to my notes here. All right. So, be fruitful, multiply, and Adam could not be fruitful or multiply as he was. And then God said, it is not good that man should be alone. All right? So, in order to understand the statement that it's not good for man to be alone, we need to understand what good is. What is good so that man being alone would not be good? Now the question or the statement that God put forward that it is not good for man should be alone, I come up with two questions. You may be able to come up with more, but these are the two questions that I came up with for understanding this. Is the statement saying that man is not good when he is alone? Is the statement saying that man cannot be good when he is alone? All right? Now, I would put forward that one of these statements is true, and one of them is false. Is man not good when he is alone? Or is it that man cannot be good when he is alone? And I would also point to the fact, I would say, and argue, that these are two distinct ways of looking at it. I have heard both of these argued. Okay, can y'all think of another one, another way of looking at this?
Yeah.
Can you ask another question that would be different than these two questions?
Yeah. Man won't be good.
Okay.
That's the same as cannot. Man should not be alone.
Okay, but we're talking about good, and so I don't hear good in that.
Said God, not it is good, so it is not good that man should be alone.
And that is, then God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Okay? And out of that statement...
When I read yours, it looks like to me that the object of being not good is man himself, not the state or condition of him. That's two different things.
You're getting ahead of me. I did ask, and so I jest, okay? But that is, I think that we're on the same page there, and absolutely, absolutely true. Where you're going with that?
Okay.
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay.
All right. So.
I don't know which one you've chosen of those two, but
you'll get to see.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm hanging suspense.
Good.
Is it like a command? He will not be able to be good without one.
No, he is making a... Okay, so God is making a statement. God is making a statement, and this is the way that it is. It is not good that man should be alone. The fact is, it's not good for man to be alone. What I'm saying is, in order for us to understand the good that we're talking about here, we need to understand how it interacts with man. Yes?
You need to know what the it is. Is it the it?
Yeah.
Or is it
There, I can appreciate. Thank you. Yeah. It, what is the it? Okay. So I'm going to move forward, and we'll get into which one that I think is correct and which one I think is false. Because I see these two things as being opposed to each other because of the it. Right? So, seven times in Genesis chapter 1, God said, it is good. The word good, it is not good and it is good. So here in Genesis 2 we have it is not good, but in seven times in Genesis chapter 1 we have it is good. And when God said it is good, He called the different elements of creation good. Good is the Hebrew word 2896, tob. It's an adjective, such as a good thing, a pleasant thing. But it speaks to the good of something, a good thing, that this is a good thing versus a bad thing, that this is a pleasant thing versus unpleasant, that it speaks to welfare, like doing good for something, that this is good for the welfare. This will take care of something, right? So notice in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, that God said that the light was good. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God did not say that darkness was good. Specifically distinct between the two, He said light was good. He did not say that darkness was good. God saw the light, that it was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Light is good, darkness is not. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says that people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Okay? Now, Ben spoke to this, and if you remember, got your notes or whatever, you remember from last week, Ben talked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And we're right down there in the middle of that again. Not necessarily going to rehash it. If you'd like to share anything about that in relation to this, that'd be great. But I'm going to only be focusing more on what this good is rather than going back to the tree. Right? But people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. And then in 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So the reason I'm focusing on 1:4 and then these other verses from books of John there is that it highlights this difference between what is good and what is not. So light produces life. Darkness produces death. And frankly, that would be an incorrect statement because it's not a production. It just doesn't help life. It actually is an evil because it eliminates the ability for life to exist, or it is a hindrance to life, probably the better way to say that. Okay? So in the context of good and evil, without intent, just not doing good, here is this evil, this darkness that inhibits life. Light, it is the opposite of life. It is the not loving God produces darkness, or it is the darkness. God is light. He invades the darkness. Darkness is gone. Okay? But where darkness is, there is no life. Y'all see the connection there, the juxtaposition of each other, one against the other? Yes.
What a good statement. Darkness reveals death then?
Yeah.
Darkness is simply the absence of life.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And maybe I have an issue with something that is being nothing. It's not a thing. But we still have a name for something that's not something. Because it's the absence of. Yeah, absence of heat. Yes. But light, you talk about your garden. Isaiah, I think you were the one talking about it there. Talk about the garden, how it produces. It is the light that is the energy that provides the plants the ability to produce fruit, to grow and to have life. Okay, as when the darkness comes, then that is as the darkness comes, that is minimized till there is no darkness, and then there is no life. Yes.
I think William talked about light. He talked about it's more than just a visible light. It's a whole electromagnetic spectrum.
Is light is the form, that form of light. Yes, heat, so forth. Yes, yeah. Okay, so light produces life and darkness, death. So good is that which produces or nourishes life. Conducive to life is that which helps life flourish. So good would be conducive to life, similar to conducting electricity. Okay, it's a good conductor. Good is a conductor of life. It allows life to flow through. When we restrict that ability for life to flow through, then that is evil, right? So good is conducive to life. It is that which helps life flourish. Good is fitting. It is appropriate, or it is meeting the design requirements to enable life, right? Now, wait on that. All right. So, then God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Is this statement saying that man is not good when he is alone, or is the statement saying man cannot be good when he is alone? And so if we look at this definition of what good is, that good is that which is conducive to life, which helps life flourish, or is fitting. It is appropriate to meet the design requirements to enable life, and we go back to what God told mankind in Genesis chapter 1, what their duty was, what their mission, their mandate was to fill the earth, to be life makers. They can't. Adam, the man, cannot do that. He is incapable. So to reveal this to Adam, he brings all of the animals to Adam. And Adam is looking through the animals. And he says, I don't find one suitable for me. There is not one suitable or fitting for me to fulfill this obligation. It won't work. They're animals. They are not mankind. This is not fitting. I cannot be fruitful. I cannot multiply. I'm in a dilemma. And can you hang on to that? Okay. The crazy thing to me as I walk through this is in chapter 2, it says, verse 3, that God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So if we take the approach of a literal 7 days, creation that we're talking about, which I believe is biblical. Okay, as I see it, I can argue for that, but I see it as biblical. Then that would mean that God did not take, even within one day, He did not take that long in creating. It would appear to be, okay, because they still had time in the day for God to place Adam within this garden, to bring all of the animals to him, and even if they were kinds, okay, even if we're talking about the kinds of animals, even if we're talking about even if it's not just all specific kinds, but He created the way for the kinds to create all sorts of, below kinds, whether, so like they say bears are kin to dogs, and then you have you can have the wolf, and from the wolf you can have what?
Is it species?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm bad with that. But within a wolf, you can have all of the species of the dogs, type of a thing. Is it the species? Is that? Would you? Who knows?
It would be. Depends on how you want to structure it. I mean, it's arbitrarily. We come up with an arbitrary structure.
Yeah.
We use the common structures. You genus.
Kingdom, yeah, okay. So within the dog kingdom, you would have all of these.
Kingdom.
Oh, okay. I remember this in my science textbook, but I do not remember. My page is blank. I just see the tree going down.
All dogs, that'd be the kingdom of all dogs.
But within the DNA of this kind, you have all of the variety that can be produced from that DNA.
They're all still canine.
Thank you. They're all canine, right? But they're within. And so God did not necessarily need to make poodles for there to be poodles. Okay? He made dogs. Okay? And so here's a couple of dogs. Similar to what happened with Noah. Noah and the Ark, and this is the Ark Encounter. One of the things that the point that they make is that we think of all of the different animals, and frankly, they're still discovering animals that they didn't know existed in our supreme intelligence. How did they get all these animals on the Ark? And if we do it by kinds rather than by particular breed or whatever, it is much more manageable. And so, yeah, so he brings them before Adam. Adam names them. And all within this same day, Adam comes to the realization, I have been tasked with something I cannot perform. And God says, I'll take care of it. Puts him to sleep and creates woman. So, the man, I did not tell you. Okay, so the statement here is the saying that man is not good when he alone is alone, or is a statement saying that man cannot be good when he is alone. It is the second statement that is true. The first statement is not true. As a matter of fact, it is a lie to say that man is not good when he is alone. Okay, so for instance, how many of you men are alone right now? Thank you. You understand what I'm getting at? You're not married. You don't have the woman to go with the man. Okay? Does that mean that you cannot be good? Well, what are we meaning when we say good? And it would mean that you are not able to be conducive to life or fitting, appropriate, or meeting the design requirements to enable life. Well, Adam was not complete, but he could still be forming himself to be good when he is complete. When the woman is brought to him, he becomes complete. Now, I'll talk about that a little bit more, but the reason why I say that it is, the first statement is the opposite. It is the negative, and it absolutely is not true. The statement saying that man is not good when he is alone is saying that what God has created cannot be. Like I used the word cannot be. That was a misstep there. Because then the next statement it says, man cannot be good when he is alone. At the foundation, man cannot do anything. The man cannot do anything to encourage or help life to flourish. So right now, within your families, you still have an opportunity to make choices to either destroy life or to build life, though you may not be able to create life. Okay, your choices and things that you do can still go in a positive life-building direction or in a life-destroying direction. In the words that you say, in the power of the tongue, there is life. Okay? And those that practice it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's not exactly how it says it, but yeah.
So what you're doing is to make sure I understand, you're narrowing the application of the word good down to production of life in this context?
I do believe that is what it is doing in the passage.
In this context.
Yes.
So they actually are both true, depending on if the aloneness never changes.
Agreed.
Because even though a man can be alone and working towards that goal, that God-given purpose, if the aloneness never changes, he never did it. So he's not conscious.
Yes.
And so the good, I mean, it's like, which form of the word are you going to, I mean, like each man, did you change that? If you just put the different words in for good, if you said man is not becoming or being productive. Depends on how, you know, you say he can be working towards being productive. But as long as he's alone, he's never going to accomplish that. Accomplish what God has, that particular directive of God. He's not going to accomplish that directive of God by himself.
Yeah, I'm going to take another run at it, okay? Because what I am trying to tease out here is that the hatred of masculinity, of manhood, of the man would say that man is incapable of goodness, okay? But Scripture, beyond this point, speaks to an understanding that the man, is not immediately joined with his wife. And what happens in that intermedium? Okay, and so like Proverbs would say, prepare your work without, make it fit for yourself in the field. Afterwards, build thine house. So, in preparing his work without, making it fit for himself, there is much preparation for goodness, which is the opposite of not good. Now, he cannot be good yet, but he's not bad. And I'm trying to tease that apart with inadequate language. So that's what I'm trying to draw out. All right, and that... Is William now no longer able to be good? He had a wife, now he doesn't. What's he left with? And we're not left there. God still says, wherever you are in life, you still can encourage and flourish, cause to flourish around you, life. You're never married. You're not non-existent because you're only half a person. No, you are a person. You're a whole person, and you can cause life to flourish around you by the choices that you make, by the way that you interact with the world. And the fact is that it is God that brings the spouse. Okay? And that's what takes place. God brings the woman to the man. Right? Yes, we seek as men. We seek, but it is God that in favor... the man finds a wife. Whoso findeth a wife. This is an active pursuit of. But whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. It's like, search. Here you go. Okay? God is the one that gives. It is a gift from God. Right? So both are the tension there. You know, we have a responsibility in this. That's I'm trying to draw that out, that you do not lose value because you do not have a spouse. Okay? Your value is in you seeking God and being a life giver in other ways. You may not be able to create life in the dynamic that you are in, but you can encourage, you can nurture and cause to grow the life that is around you. Right? And what in the garden, there's only one person in the entire world, Adam, who can produce, but he can't. And so the scope of his ability is reduced down to, I can't have children. There's no one else to nurture. I am incapable of doing anything except tending the garden, but this is short-sighted, short-lived. Okay? I'll digress there. Y'all got thoughts about that? Anything you want to say before I move forward? Yeah?
Same thing would apply to the older married couples,
right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Same would apply to what?
Older married couples. They're no longer able to have children. But only in that same way that I'm speaking about a single individual.
I don't know if it's the same, but I'm not saying they don't have a way, but I'm saying I don't think it's the same way. I think adult, so I'm still producing life, even though I'm not fathering new life.
And the interaction that that the other individuals have with that six-year-old might not have as much impact, but it can still be life-giving.
That's why I said it's not that there's not one, but it's not the same. Because it's being awesome.
Not the same impact, but I do think that it is, if it's life-giving, it is on par. Just not the velocity. Yeah. All right. So, do you have anything else on that? All right. So the man cannot be good without the woman. Also, the woman cannot be good in this limited scope without the man. As the woman submits to the man and the man protects and cares for the woman, they both together and only together become more glorious, dominating, and fruitful. Right? So when God created the man, he needed the woman. And also when God created the woman, she needed the man. Together, they become mankind. Separate, there is no mankind. And there is no submission to God in fulfilling the mandate that God has put forward. So, why was woman created? Woman was created to be man's helper, as we saw in verse 18. But to help do what? And we see in Genesis 1:28, that is, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. To have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God created the man and the woman with unique roles. When they submit to and embrace those roles, they together become fruitful, will multiply and fill the earth, and have dominion as they have been commissioned by God. The unique roles of each must be observed and embraced. You must understand your unique role as a man or as a woman. If you do not, you create all sorts of trouble. But as you observe and embrace the unique role that God has given to you, then the whole will work and there will be order. Okay? The success of the man lies within the woman, and the success of the woman lies within the man. Both must submit to the order, the roles, and commands God has given in order for the mission to be fulfilled. I see this very similar to an engine and a transmission. The engine without a transmission is useless, but the transmission without an engine is also useless. The engine is the man. There is the power, the drive. But that power and drive must be put into a constructive process, and that's called the transmission. But even within this, when the power of the engine is tied closely to the transmission, the car moves, but both the engine and the transmission must be in submission to the driver, which would be God, the Creator, the one who is saying this is where this vehicle is supposed to go, in order to prevent damage to either. Right? So, what are the roles? When man was created, he was placed in the garden to keep it and to work it and to keep or guard and protect it. This is verse 15. Now, the man is to provide a good environment within which life grows. He does this through being self-controlled, through working, transforming the wilderness which is around him into a garden suitable to sustain life, and planting seed and causing things to grow. He does this through keeping, guarding, and protecting that garden from darkness, from that which is not suitable to sustain life. The woman was created when she was brought to man as a helper suitable to the man. And the woman is to nurture life. And she does this through loving her husband and children, through being self-controlled, through being pure, through working at home, through being kind, and being submissive to your own husband. Okay? These two elements, for the man, for a man, and for a woman, for the man and for the woman, are contradictory to our culture. As a matter of fact, our culture hates what I have put forward here. And we are inundated with the lie that this is improper. As a matter of fact, we're inundated with the idea that it is oppressive to live this way. That the woman is oppressing the man. No, said that wrong. That the man is oppressing the woman. The crazy thing is the woman, as she is in rebellion and does not submit to the role that God has given to her, becomes contrary, unhappy, disgruntled, a Karen, and a few other things. Okay? She's just destroying herself. The man, when he does not grab a hold of what God created for him, he becomes either a monster, using his power to destroy, because he will not submit and have it used in a constructive manner, or he becomes, I got all these words, I got to think of appropriate ones. he becomes anemic and suicidal. And unmanly. Y'all got a good, constructive, socially acceptable word you could put forward?
Effeminate.
That is good. That is. Thank you. Effeminate.
Stays a boy. Some
kind of... Yeah, stays a boy. Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you say he stays a boy. What a boy is uncontrolled energy. So Titus says, in Titus chapter 2, it says, teach the young men to be sober, self-controlled, uncontrolled power. They have energy, but it's uncontrolled and destructive. I believe I am just below this. You waiting? All right. So seven times. Anybody have anything about this? Any comments further? All right. Yeah.
A few minutes ago, I don't know how long, but a few minutes ago, you did ask, I thought of it a few minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
You asked, what is good? And I believe that God is good.
Yes, He is.
He's goodness.
Yes, He is. And in that goodness, what does He produce?
Life.
All the time. All those who hate God, do you know what they are seeking? You know what they love?
Sin.
Death. Because God is the source of life. He is light. And it is light, energy, that gives life. Yeah, it all kind of wraps nicely up there. Good. So seven times in Genesis chapter 1, God called the different elements of creation good. The creation was only good until man and woman were created. And then it was very good. Right? Because everything up to the point that man and woman were created, was only things that would help facilitate. Light separated from the darkness. Light will help facilitate. Separating the waters from the land, or land from the waters, it helps facilitate what good is. So God has a plan, a purpose, an overarching design. That design, where He is headed, is what good is. And what that is His life. And He's setting up a dynamic that will ultimately result in greater life. The life that He gives will ultimately result in greater life. This is the resurrection from the dead. And it's wonderful to have the conversations with Ben about the design that God created in the garden, about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was not something that was like, man, well, I hate to just not have any way to sin. I want them to have free will, some would say, and so I have to give them a way to sin. Now, sin is a rejection of God's commandments. But we're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that everything that is alive, particularly mankind, but when it dies for a reason. Why does it die? Just like a seed goes into the ground, it must be planted. So that it's dead? No. So that it can grow into a greater life than it was before. And there is this element that, you know, Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. The plan, the dynamic that Jesus is setting up in the creation is not some, oops, man, I can't believe they sinned. Okay, hang on. Okay, if I move this around, I think we can still come up with something good. No. God is not capricious. He's not random. He doesn't make mistakes. He set this whole thing up in order that we might die and be reborn into a spiritual creation, that we might be sons and daughters of God. Okay? Every element of the creation, every day of the creation, was stating things that were necessary for His plan to come to pass, that would sustain life, that would nurture life. Every day, He got to man and woman. When mankind was created, He said, that's it. Now it's very good. It's all in order. Life can now flourish. The life that I am giving. All right? Do you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I was just wondering. So when I saw very good, it reminded me of the double word emphasis we talked about.
Good.
With the ee. And so I looked, it's not the same word twice. It's actually the word that means abundant. So actually it means it was abundantly good.
Yeah, and it's going to create abundant life.
That's what I'm talking
about. Absolutely.
It was not.
Yes, sir.
It gives more flavor than just very.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was good, meaning it was appropriate. It was,
yes,
as it should be.
Yes.
It was beneficial. It was beneficial. Everything mm-hmm. He made was beneficial. And then when He had made everything, it was a beneficial that was going to produce abundance.
All of the parts are now in place.
Right.
Yeah.
And it really, honestly, as I read it, it wasn't necessarily that man and woman were very good. It was that now everything is complete and everything is very good in a totality.
Yes, and I hope it didn't come across like I was saying that it was the man and the woman that were very good.
Not overtly, but maybe.
Yeah, because...
Somewhat, because you've been talking about man and woman, then you brought in very good, so I wanted to be sure that... The same, when I look at it, it's like, it's at the end of chapter 1. It's not at the end of the story of the woman creation, per se. It's not there. It's at the end of chapter 1.
Yes.
It's very good.
Which is, mankind is created. Mankind is created at the end of chapter 1. And that's why...
It's more like everything's done now. And it was all... In fact, I think it says all... No, but...
All right, so here's the reason for the emphasis that I am placing. We live in a culture that says, if you remove mankind, now Now things can be okay. And the result, the exact opposite is actually what is true. Nature, apart from mankind, is not very good. It takes mankind for the picture to be complete. Okay? Don't buy the lie. It is destructive. It destroys life. Okay? Tucker Carlson, I think some of y'all know him. Okay, he's doing this. He's really going some interesting places. He had this guy on. I have no idea who this guy was. Apparently, folks in the, you know, he's popular somewhere. But he made a comment that the meaning for a system is what it produces. So a governmental system, whatever, what it produces is what the system is about. Right? So if you take like communism, socialism, capitalism, whatever that system actually produces, that's what that system actually is about. It's not what they tell you it's about. It's what it actually produces. That's what that system is, which is like no-brainer. You can, if I sold you a car that didn't go anywhere...
It's not a car.
Thank you. It can look like a car. Because we think of a car as, you know, our understanding of a car is this thing that drives down the road, okay? But if it's not doing that, it's not a car, okay? It might be something that's supposed to look like a car, but it's not a car. And what we see is in all of these different ideologies that are putting forward, you know, we're going to try socialism again. We're going to do communism right this time. We're going to, whatever it is, what is the product? And what we see is hundreds of millions of people being destroyed. Death.
I think we're saying the same thing, but what I was trying to say was that it's not that animals were just good, plants were just good, and now man and woman are very good in comparison to them.
Right,
no. The first day created everything
and it was
solved it
very
all
good.
Together,
yes.
It was all very abundantly good.
Yes. Yes. All right, so God wants lots and lots of human life. And what He created for us enables us to be like Him and produce good. To produce abundant life. All right. So here's an aside for you. It is not directly related to what we're talking about, but it is because it draws off of what man and the woman were created for. Men desire respect above all. Not that they don't desire love and things like that, but above all, men desire respect. Women desire love above all. Okay? The way that this works, men do what cultivates and protects life. You know what that is? That's what God created man to do. Do what cultivates and protects life, no matter what those around you think. And you will be respected. You may be hated, but you will still be respected. You will have respect. If you do what cultivates and protects life, no matter what those around you think. You do what cultivates and protects life no matter what your wife thinks, and she will respect you. She may hate your guts, but she will respect you. You do what cultivates and protects life, and you may die, you may be killed, but you will be respected. I will give you the greatest example. You ready? You ask people in the world and say, "What do you think of Jesus?" You know what they'll say? He was a good man. I appreciate what he said. But, one God. Matter of fact, we'd kill him again if he came and spoke those good words to us. There's respect. Okay? He got respect because he did what he was sent to do. He did the mission. He cultivated life. He protected life no matter what. Flip side, women, do what nurtures the lives around you. No matter what those around you think, and you will be loved. Right? Now, we must go back to what nurture is, though. Do you remember what nurture is? Scroll back up here a little bit. Love your husband and children. Be self-controlled. Be pure. Work at home. Be kind and be submissive to your own husband. Titus chapter 2. When the woman does what nurtures the lives around her, no matter what those around her thinks, she will be loved. Proverbs 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Why? Because she has done virtuously. Okay? And this is virtue. Titus chapter 2.